Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you love me in the Lord tonight? I might check with you again when we're done. There's a phrase we often use around Arizona called, "Where's the rain?" We go pretty long stretches without it. Tonight I have for you a word from the Lord. And I have entitled this message tonight, "Tear Off the Roof and Let It Rain." And I'd like you to open your Bibles to the New Testament book of Mark, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When you have found that, if you would, please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word tonight. Hallelujah. Beginning with verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." I want you to bow your heads for a moment tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in prayer, believing that you are going to give us eyes to see, that you are going to give us ears to hear. I do not care what they came in with tonight. I don't care what baggage they brought in with them tonight. By the time we are done with this service, I pray the delivering power of Jesus Christ will have met each and every one. I pray, Lord, the words that you have given me to speak forth tonight, it would be under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as only you can do. And I pray, Lord, that you will do so until the remainder of this service, until you have had your way, until you have touched, until you have blessed, until you have helped, until you have saved. God, until you have delivered, we are going to trust you, and we're going to lean upon you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. You might say tonight, Brother Cooley, there was nothing in those scriptures about the rain. Sure there was. You just didn't see it. The very onset of this chapter begins by saying that again, he, being Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. After some days, if you go back and look at the first chapter of the book of Mark, you see a what would be a day in the life of Jesus, a day of preaching the word, a day of healing the sick, a day of casting out devils, a day of doing all of these wondrous things that we often synonymize with the latter rain, the gifts of the Spirit, the mercies of God that are given to man in such ways. We often relegate them to revival services or revival times in churches, and we couldn't really be further from what the truth really is. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'm sure if the Lord tarries long enough, I'll say it yet again. We have no idea what true revival really is. We have relegated our quick special services with a glib tongue preacher, as you've heard me say many times, and we think that we are going to somehow spur or invoke revival in those kinds of special services. But revival, as I've said before, starts long before the special speaker ever comes. It begins in the hearts and the lives of God's people who are dead and or dying and are in need of revival. Now, I know that as we look around the church world in these last days, it's discouraging. And it's difficult to look and to see all the things that are going on, of which we talk about quite often. And it's hard to see where the rain is. It is hard to see where, I've heard it most of my life, the teaching of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, this last day move of God, which I explained to you a couple of weeks ago, began on the day of Pentecost. We have been in the last days for over 2,000 years. If you understand how God works with time, you'll understand that's about right. And we understand that we have been in the last days for a long time. We have seen many mighty moves of God since the day of Pentecost. But oftentimes we tend to think to ourselves in these last days, and I've heard preachers say it even recently, that there is going to be a move of God in these last days that sweeps the topography of this world and sweeps in millions and millions of souls. And the only problem I have with that is I'm not finding it in the Scriptures. But what I am finding is that God is always on the move. Don't lose sight of that. Just because we're not having great swelling revival services that are sweeping the nation does not mean that God is not moving. Just because we're not seeing it the way that we used to see it in Brother Scott's time back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and then into my times in the 70s and 80s and 90s, we have seen many moves of God over our world, and thank God we did, because we're here today because of it. But I would submit to you tonight that we are in what the Bible calls in the last days as the great falling away. You would say to me, well, Brother Cooley, you don't understand. We've got all of these mega churches, and we've got, you know, they report these bloated numbers to be in the multiplied tens of millions of believers in these last days. And just hang on to that. We're going to take a look at that here tonight. You see, right off the bat, in the beginning of this particular text, we read a phrase that is often read over, and then they go into other things. But the Bible says that after Jesus entered into Capernaum, and I want you to hear this very clearly, it was noised. Word had spread. Word had reached the ears of many that Jesus was in the house. And I want to do a little takeaway, if I can, from the modern-day church of today. The last person you hear about being in the house is Jesus. We have given ourselves, if I can say it that way, to promoting the preacher, to promoting the name, to promoting the name of the denomination or the name of the movement, whatever it may be, or more like today's time, we are promoting the singer or the music in and of itself, and we're promoting all of these other things across the church in these last days, but we're not promoting Jesus Himself. And the reason we're not promoting Jesus Himself is because, quite honestly, too many times He's not even in the house. You understand what I'm saying here tonight? If we are going to promote anything, let us promote Jesus Christ. If we are going to promote anybody, let us promote Jesus Christ. But how can you promote Jesus Christ if He's not even in the house? Word had reached the ears of all of these folk that Jesus was in this particular house. It is believed that it was Simon, one of the priests. It was his home. And he was having what we would call a church service. I want you to notice something right off the top here. You'll notice at the beginning of the description of this service, the Bible says it was noised that Jesus was in the house, and straightway many people were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not even about the door. Do you see what's missing here? There's no description that we've got this great piano player or this great guitar player or this great drum player or this great brass band. There's no word that we've got this great group of singers that has come to join us. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with musicians. There's nothing wrong with singers in their right place. But I want you to know the emphasis that the Lord has placed on recognizing that Jesus be in the house. As it is so many times, whenever we hear a great noise about just about anything, people will come flocking all over the place. I suppose it was in the late 60s and the early 70s when people began to get out of their churches and hear about revival moves here and revival moves there, and they would leave their home church and they would go to these meetings. Oftentimes it was locally out on the outskirts of town. Somebody, some evangelist had stretched a great big awning tent out there, and there was sawdust on the ground and there was wooden folding chairs. And Brother Cooley, how do you know it was like that? I've been in a few of them and I know. And they set it all up, and they would bring in their preacher, and he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he did. And inevitably along the line somewhere, Jesus would show up, and he was in the house, and God was there. You could sense him. You could almost at times reach out and touch it. I want to give just a brief description. I remember as being just a young boy. And this was in the 70s, and Dad was a minister, and we had gone together as a family out to the outskirts of town. This humongous tent was set up on this empty lot, and sawdust from a farmer had been brought in and had been strewn about on the ground. There was sawdust, and there was bits of hay all over the place here and there, and they had these wooden folding chairs. How many of you remember the old wooden folding chairs? And they set up all of these wooden folding chairs, and if I remember correctly, they were seating over 700 people that had come in. And they were filling this tent on the outskirts of town. I don't know who the preacher was, but I know that Dad usually hung around a little group of preachers here and there. And I remember this one particular night, they had gathered together and they were standing up by the front, and they were questioning among themselves who was going to be one of the guest singers that they were going to bring in for the revival services. And somebody mentioned the name of a little gal that evidently Dad and a group of them didn't feel like she could sing very well. And I remember standing close by listening. I was always hovering around that kind of stuff, and I remember listening to one of them. I believe it was my own dad that said, "I know that girl, she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket." And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is going to be a humdinger. And so I'm just going to find myself, you know, Dad was a minister, and so he was represented, and so there he was on the front row. We were all on the front row. And I was trying to find a place to play with a little pick-em-up truck. That's the way we called that back then, little pick-em-up truck back then. And sit under the front seat somewhere. And I remember they had gone through the preliminaries and they were beginning the service and they had sung a couple of songs. And then the announcement came that the young lady that they had talked about was going to come and sing her song. And I was sitting there in the floor in the sawdust getting ready to play. When all of a sudden, I remember it just as vividly as I'm standing here tonight, that young lady began to walk up the side and go up the stairs onto the platform. And she got up there, and I don't know what in the world happened, but all of a sudden, she grabbed the mic and she began to sing. When all of a sudden, a power from out of nowhere came, and it fell across that tent meeting. And I mean to tell you, there was nobody up and looking around. Everybody fell flat on their face, from the front to the back. I popped up my head and I just had to believe it was the Lord that allowed me to do it. But I knew in my heart, as just a young boy, this was not the time to play. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to usher me out to the nursery. There wasn't one. I just knew instinctively there is something of a God nature here, and I had better sit up and pay attention. And I remember sitting there, and I remember looking up to the front of that sanctuary, and that young girl that stood up there that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket was standing there weeping as the presence and the power of God came down while she sang her little song. And there wasn't an eye in the place looking around. Mine were the only ones. It's not about talent and ability. There had to have been something in the heart of that young girl that touched God, because the presence and the power of God was poured out in that place. Never again in the rest of my life do I ever remember hearing my dad say that about anybody. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. Word had spread through town that Jesus was in the house. That 700-person tent was packed to standing room only every single night. Those meetings sometimes went on for weeks. I remember distinctly truck drivers driving down the road, not knowing what is going on, but they see all the commotion, having to pull over their big rigs because something got a hold of them in their cab. And they had to pull it over to the side of the road. And they get out of their semi-trucks and they make their way to this tent meeting that's going on, and they come in the flaps of the back of the tent, and they don't know what's going on. They're really not in control of themselves. And they come stumbling down the center aisles, and I watched it with my own eyes. This big old truck driver come down the center aisle staggering and interrupted service. How many of you love those kinds of interruptions? And he interrupted service, and he'd stand down there at the altar with his hands in the air and say, "Men and brothers, I don't know why I'm here. All I know is I was driving my semi-truck down the road when something came into my cab, told me I needed to pull over and I needed to get into this tent meeting." And he said, "I don't know why you're all here." And then, of course, somebody stepped up and said, "Well, brother, that's the Holy Spirit. He got a hold of you in your cab. And what you need is Jesus. What you need in your heart is Jesus. What you need to turn your life over to is Jesus." And he would stay there that very night, weeping and crying, trying his way to salvation as the Spirit of God touched him, and he was saved that night when he left. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. I am ill with hearing about all of the special conferences and all of the special meetings, and we're going to have this one and that one and the other one. No matter how many times they've been disgraced, no matter how many times they've been discredited, they always seem to have these great big meetings going on somewhere. You know me, I don't care if I name names. I just heard one the other day. They pulled old Benny Hinn out of the closet, and I don't know which wife he's on now. I don't know how many fake healings he's putting on now. I don't know how many more fake moves there is, but I know this, I know God's sick of it. The house was full in Simon's house of onlookers. Those who were looking to be entertained, maybe hoping to see another miracle. Maybe they were going to have their ears tickled by some word. But the Bible says that Jesus preached the word unto them. I want to stress that because I want you to understand that everything we hear from churches in these last days is not the word. But in that house, Jesus preached the word unto them. If there's one thing I would tell you tonight, don't ever get tired. Don't ever get sick of hearing the preached word of God. There is nothing more powerful. There is nothing that could ever replace it. There is nothing that will ever take its place. I'm tired of hearing young people tell me today, well, if you were in the concert that I was in and the music that was going on and the songs that were sung and people were filling the altars and getting saved all over the place, I've gotten to the place where I call them liars. I didn't figure that'd go over well. But the truth is they're lying. There might be a familiar spirit in that place working here and there, but I want to remind you of what the Word of God says. The Bible does not say that He is going to win the lost by songs. He's not going to win the lost by the singing. He's not going to win the lost by the playing of musical instruments. But the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching that men would be saved. This cannot be overstated. But what is in the church today is preachers who will preach just about anything and everything but Jesus. I am thankful that you had a minister here this morning. Though his voice was a little tempered, he did his best to preach unto you Jesus. They're preaching the wrong word. They're giving, and did this come to me the other day? I was sitting in my office and I was preparing another word for something else, this thing come on. Somebody wanted me to look at this preacher that was preaching a message, and it was at a well-known church and a well-known preacher, and they said he did such a good job, and so I turn on this service and I'm listening to these things, and I don't know if you've ever been there when you're in the middle of listening to something, but all of a sudden the Lord gets a hold of your mind and you are carried away to another place, and I was sitting there in that seat and I was hearing that word and I was hearing that service, but the Spirit of the Lord came and carried my mind and myself away to another place. And he said, I will remind you that the Word of God came not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but it came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. There's too many enticing words of men's wisdom. There are too many messages with enticing words of men's wisdom because they know how to do it, and they know how to inflect their voice just right, and they know how to work up a crowd. But it is not the same Jesus. It is not the same Spirit, and it is not the same gospel. They're preaching, but they have no power. They're preaching, but they have no demonstration. They're preaching, and they talk about it all the time, but there is no moving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was preaching the word unto them, and it says they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, born of four. I've preached this word any number of times in my 30-some-odd years of ministering, and I've generally about along the same line, but the Lord turned this thing around on me. He stopped me in the middle of my studies, and He said, I want to show you something here. He said they were having service and Jesus was in the house and the house was full, and the four men that were carrying the lame man with the palsy on the cot, and they come up to the door and they couldn't get in the door because the house was packed. And no doubt they went around to try to find a window somewhere, but they couldn't get in because the house was packed. But that did not deter these guys. They got up on this guy's roof. And the Bible says that they begin to tear away the tiles, or they begin to tear away the makings of whatever roof was on this structure, on this house. And they begin to tear it away until they expose the hole in the roof. And while they're tearing off the roof, don't you think that was an interruption to service? Don't you think that was some kind of interruption? Oh, we've got all the wrong kind of interruptions going on in church today. But God give us men that are determined to get up on the roof and begin to tear off the tiles and begin to tear it apart, because there's no other way for them to get in. The Bible says they laid a man that was sick of the palsy down in the presence of the Lord. I've preached this any number of times and I just go right over it. I never really saw it with my own eyes. And the Lord said, isn't that what you have today? I'm not as smart as I look. I'm like, Lord, I need a little more than that. What do you mean? He said the man was sick of the palsy. He had withdrawn himself and became withered in his hands, his arms, and his legs. He was no longer useful to anyone. He said, isn't that what you've got today? He said, didn't you hear somebody say the other day that they wondered where the rain was? Didn't you hear them say they wondered why there was no great last day revival going on right now? And they wondered, you know, we feel like we're doing all the right things. We feel like we're saying all the right words. And yet we've got no great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've got no great demonstration of the Holy Spirit going on. He said there's a lot of people that are praying and they're asking where the rain is. And they're wondering where the rain is. And they're looking where the rain is. And they haven't got any rain. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to turn over to the book of Jeremiah. And I want you to begin to look into these pages. I've got a problem here, and it needs to be sorted out. And I begin to thumb through the pages, and I found it over in the book of Jeremiah. Now, I want you to turn there real quick. I don't want to just read it. You got your Bible, right? I'll take that for granted. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. I'll give you just a moment to get there. I've already been accused of preaching till morning, so we might as well make it feel like that anyway. Jeremiah 23, and I want to begin with verse 11. Jeremiah 23 and 11 says, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. I want you to jump down. Verse 21. This is the Lord speaking. And He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? We wonder where the rain is. We wonder where the move of God is. We wonder where the revival is. We wonder where all the sweeping in of the souls is. You're not going to see it because God has a controversy. Hear me, with His church. How many of you sitting here tonight believe you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Whoa, okay, that was timid. Let's try that again. I said, how many of you sitting here tonight believe you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Then He's talking to you. The palsy that the Lord was referring to in these last days is not the physical difficulties that the man was having. But in these last days, it is the spiritual palsy that has gripped the body of Christ. Hear me. We wonder where the rain is. Turn over just a few pages to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3. Beginning with verse 2. Jeremiah 3 and 2 says, "Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness." Hear this. "And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and thy wickedness." Hear this next verse. "Therefore the showers have been withholden. And there hath..." Hear this word. It's a prophecy. It was given in a time when they hadn't even received the first rain, let alone the latter rain. But hear what he says. "And there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a hoarse forehead. And thou refusest to be ashamed." Verse 4. "Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest." We're wondering where the move of God is. It's not that God's not willing. God is willing. And unlike you're going to hear probably in just about every other church going on in this world today, they feign revival. They prophesy revival. They speak great swelling words of dreams and visions of revivals. And hear what the Lord had said earlier in Jeremiah 29. They speak of these things, but it's the deceit of their own heart. "I have not sent them." Do you hear me? "I have not given them to say what they're saying. It is not my word that they are giving unto my people." Is that not what he said? He said, "They run, but I didn't send them. And our land is full tonight with what I call polluters. They are polluting the lands upon which was reserved for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be reared and to be grown in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They're polluting the landscape. They have their media. They have their television cameras. They have their radio signals. They have their YouTube channels, and they have their Facebook things. And we use some of those things too, I understand. But they have all of this around them, and they build this great big thing, and they think they're doing God's work. But the Lord has sent me to tell you tonight, I have not sent them. And what they do not do of me. But it is the deceit of their own heart." We are like the man with palsy. We are spiritually inept. We are spiritually crippled. We are spiritually withered. And we have not got the power to do even the things that we say must be done. And we wonder where it's going to come from. And we wonder how we're going to get there. There ain't but one way. And there has never been but one way. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There were four men that believed. Now the house was packed, the Bible said. There was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. The place was full. Do you hear me? The place was full. But only one man left delivered. I'm going to say it again.
The place was packed to the gills, but there was only one man that left delivered.
Do you hear me?
Full to the brim, they were packed in there like sardines. No way to get in there. But somehow these four men got this man down through the roof. And he's sitting there right in front of Jesus. And I've got the answer to the last day revival right here in the Word of God. And the answer is this. When Jesus saw the man sick of the palsy, he said unto him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But you don't understand, Brother Cooley, he was sick of the palsy. He didn't need swelling words like that. That's what they would tell us today. You know, we didn't, what I hear somebody say to me last week, we didn't earn the right to talk to them. We didn't have time to make friends with him before we took him to Jesus.
Some of you will get that later.
We've got this thing all twisted. We've got it all turned around. It's all backwards. We don't know what we're doing. The answer has been in front of us the whole time along, and we're missing it. When I say we, I mean we. We're missing it. What does it mean to have spiritual palsy? Well, it's like what he said the prophets and the priests were doing. He said, "You have adulterated yourselves. You've got a whore's forehead." And it's for the love of God, as much as Satan tries to put it out there, it's not some sort of physical sexual deviance, even though he'll try that too if you allow him. But what he was talking about was the Lord said, look up and look around you. Look at every green tree. Look at every place that you've been, everything that you've done, and look at whom you have not lain with. What is he talking about? If we're going to have a move of God in these last days, we had better find the answer. And the answer is this. It is spiritual adultery. It is spiritual idolatry. It is spiritual fornication. It is spiritual negligence that we are guilty of. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Cooley? I don't think I understand what you're saying. They always look at me funny when I say that. I know you hear it all the time, but as long as God keeps me around this place, you're going to hear it more. And it's this. I got people that come to just about every single time I preach, somebody comes to me and says something stupid. I know. I get tired of it. But I can't stop them. And they'll come to me and they'll say to them, "Oh, you know, brother," somebody will say something, "Brother Cooley, that was a good word." And inevitably, the devil's got somebody over there that he works through that'll come along and say, "You're not very merciful. You're not very kind when you give these kinds of words." Somebody a couple weeks ago that heard me preaching said something about skinning cats, and I've never done that, but it sounds excruciating. You're doing all these things, and don't you think that you would get more bees with a little bit of honey? I don't know. Let's go to the source. Let's ask the man. I don't think it was honey that Jesus was preaching that day. I wonder if it was honey when he stood and looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to mock him and question him and ridicule him, when he looked at him and called him a pack of brood or vipers. I wonder how much honey was in there. I wonder how merciful he was being when he said that the whore and the lame and the cripple will enter the kingdom of heaven before you do. Everybody today wants to relegate to, "You're not really preaching Jesus unless you're preaching love." They're right, but they just do it in the wrong way. Because you can't really truly preach Jesus unless you're preaching love. Because God is love. But I want you to understand something. What you say is love and what the Holy Scriptures say is love, it's two things different altogether. Love is not the soft, tender, don't say anything negative, don't say anything unkind, Brother Lee, quit upsetting the apple cart. It seems like that's all you know how to do. You're just going to make people mad. It seems like your mission to make people mad and upset all the time. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe that's what God called me to do, is make you mad. And I know know you get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to tell it to you just one more time because the Lord gave it to me and I've come to bring it to you. I want you to understand something. We sang a song, Mercy Rewrote My Life, just before we took this pulpit tonight. And let me tell you something. When you preach the true Jesus Christ, you are preaching mercy. When you preach the true Jesus Christ, you are preaching love. When you preach the true Word of God, the way that God said to preach it, you are preaching what is right. And you are giving what the people need. And what they need is Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. You want to talk about mercy? That's mercy. There was nothing good in my life until the Lord got a hold of me. You understand what I'm saying? That there was no good deeds that I have done, and I grew up in a pastor's home, and I'm still here to tell you tonight there was nothing good that I had done until Jesus found me. Come across so hard. Maybe it's the way you come across. No, maybe that's not it at all. Maybe you're just rebellious. Maybe you just don't like to hear a stinging word of truth. Maybe it's that sovereign conviction of the Holy Spirit that turns your stomach. I say good, and it's doing its job. What did the Lord say that the work of the Holy Spirit was? He said He sent Him to convict. There goes half the church. Convict. Convict of sin. He said to convince them of righteousness and of judgment. You see, two out of three of those things is negative. Most churches wouldn't let you preach again. You preach a kind of word like that in there because it's too negative for them. Well, maybe negative is exactly what you need to hear because that's exactly what the Lord gave me to give to you. We're sick with the palsy. The church today is sick with the palsy. Spiritual palsy has put us in a place where we can no longer be used of God the way that we should be. But God didn't come to leave us that way. Do you hear me? I said God did not come to leave us that way. I know you're in a pit. You probably don't even know you're in a pit. But you've got spiritual palsy and you need to hear me tonight. There is an answer for you. There is an answer of redemption for you tonight. There is a word of deliverance for you tonight. And it came in the words that Jesus said to the man that laid in front of Him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." We'll flock to meetings where they're saying that there's a great healer there. I mean, we'll fly across the country. We'll go to these things and... But how many services will we get in an airplane and fly to that just simply says Jesus is dealing with sin? Not too many. And what does the modern day church of today want? They want you to not deal with sin. They want you to come in and feel comfortable. And they want you to feel warm and goose pimply and blah, 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 blah. I don't care what they want. We are standing on the precipice of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you can picture it tonight, but literally, the feet of so many so-called Christians is dangling over the fires of hell tonight. And what they don't need is somebody to make them comfortable. And what you don't need is somebody to fill up your hot air balloon called your ego. You'll get that later. But what you need is a word come from God that says there is sin and you are sick with the palsy. But you've just happened to come to be in the presence of the right one. He looked down and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven me." The hypocrites, the liars, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people were sitting there, and they didn't even say it out loud. They just began to question it in their minds. How many of you know that God knows your mindset? You don't have to utter it out your mouth for God to know. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the motives behind everything you're doing and what you're saying. Don't think you're hiding anything from Him. They thought they were hiding it. They just questioned it in their own minds. And the Bible says that Jesus answered them openly. Why do you reason these things in your heart? Is it easier to say to this one here, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Or would it be easier, because it's a miracle, impossible to them, or would it be easier to say, "Take up your bed, walk, and go home"? Jesus said that you may know. You hear those words? That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And He turned to the man sick of the palsy. He said, "Get up. Pick up your bed. And go your way. And go home." Did you notice the man was nameless? Did you notice there was no history given about this man as to why he wound up in this condition? I'm after something. Do you know why? Because really it applies to all of us. Did you hear me? You see, where there's no name, we can insert our own name. Oh, you're not hearing me. We all have a past. Do we not? Some of you have been brave enough to testify about some of those past things. God bless you. Not everybody's going to do that. But we all have a past. Well, Brother Cooley, what is a past to you? Well, I don't know. What did you do before today? Why? Because that qualifies as past. I tell you this all the time, but I'm going to say it again because it's my favorite part of it. There's an old song that the singing Americans used to do back in the 80s called "Past to Presence." The singer stands up and he begins to sing a song about leading a life that was all wrong. But he came to a church service somewhere and he lost his past when he found His presence. Yes, I know that's a play on words, but oh, how beautiful. I lost my past when I found His presence. The singer would go on to say, "And all those ways that burdened me down were lifted forevermore. As far as the east is from the west, cast into the sea of forgetfulness." You see, that's what the Word of God says. Did you hear me? When the Lord forgets, I don't know why I'm dealing with this. It's not in my notes. And I just feel it. When the Lord deals with something that has gone wrong in somebody's life, and they have come to the Lord, and they have repented of that thing, I don't care what it is. The very moment they ask God to forgive them, it's gone. You need to hear me. It's gone. I don't care if it was just last night. If they have come before the Lord and they have repented before God, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, they never meet. Cast into the sea, God remembers it no more. He forgot to give us that ability. Because you and I remember it. And here's where we go wrong. And here's why the showers are withholding.
Because we don't forget. We let it lodge in our hearts. We give it place. We talk about laying under every green tree with everything, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We do the same thing even with God's own people. We'll lift our hands and we'll praise the Lord and we'll give thanks unto Him. But we remember what you did yesterday. I don't mean you specifically. Unless it's true. And we harbor that in our heart. And then we try to offer God our praise. You understand what you're offering is corrupted. You know what Jesus said. Where did this come from? Holy Spirit's dealing with something here. Just hang with me. You know what Jesus said to do? He said, have you got aught against any? What are you supposed to do? He said, leave your gift at the altar and go to that one and make it right. Then you come back and then you offer your gift. Our worship is corrupted. Our praise is tainted. Because while we're exalting the King on high, we're harboring things in our heart against others. Those that we feel have done us wrong in some way. Listen, you're not alone. I've been done wrong since I could remember. But you want to talk about mercy? You hear the words of Jesus while He's hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. How about another word that would come out while He's on the cross? He said, Lord, lay it not to their charge. And I'm here tonight to tell you that if you and I will take that approach, I feel the Holy Ghost all of a sudden. If we will take that approach, we've already torn off the roof. And if we'll take the right approach, the rains will come. I need you to hear this. If we'll take the right approach and tear off the roof. What is the roof? Boy, I got all night. The roof is our religious experience. And we, I don't know where along the way, somewhere along the way, we have had an apex in our religious relationship with God. Maybe for some it was the moment they got saved. Maybe for some it was the moment they received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Maybe for some others it was when they experienced a dream or a vision or something along. I don't know what it is for you, but what I'm telling you is we have the tendency as people that we get to this particular apex in our spiritual walk with God and we build a roof over it. There's something about God working in the life of a believer you've got to understand. He doesn't like roofs. Some of you are going to get that later, I know. He's right. He doesn't like roofs. Jesus allowed them to tear up that roof while He was preaching and to lower that man down in front of Him. Two things happened that day. Somebody tore off the roof and let it rain. You know what I didn't hear? During the repeating of this incident that happened, this event that happened in this house, I didn't hear anybody saying, well, what about his past? I didn't hear anybody saying, well, don't you understand what he did to get that way? It doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't matter how you got to where you are. All that matters is this. Are you going to be carried in or are you going to walk out? His mistakes that day were turned into miracles. Every sin he had ever committed in just one moment's time was gone. The greatest thing Jesus did for that man wasn't to heal him and send him on his way, but it was to forgive him of his sin. Our spiritual palsy is holding back the reins. The move of God you need, the revival some of you need, whatever it is that you think you need, it's holding it back. Our own spiritual palsy. I told the Lord while weeping in prayer, God, no palsy for me. No palsy for me. I don't want to stand in the way. My thoughts, whatever my feelings, our feelings are not that important. I don't want myself to stand in the way of me receiving what I need from you. Now, I might need something different than you need. And you might need something different what somebody else needs. But the issue is we all need something from the Lord. Some might need a move of God. Some might need revival. Some might need a refreshing, a renewing. We're wondering where the rain is. We're getting discouraged. Our faith is dragging low. What do? We go to Him. I said, what do? We go to Him. There's only one place to go, and it's Jesus. I want you to stand all over this place tonight. The Bible says that when they saw what Jesus did, they glorified God, and they made a statement. We never saw it on this fashion. Translation. We've never seen it done that way before. And that's why the church is suffering the way that it's suffering in these last days. Because we've gotten used to our roofs. We've built our little roofs over our religious experiences. And we've built entire denominations off of our little experiences in God. But God has so much more. So much more for you and I. And the only way you're going to get it is to tear off the roof. Hallelujah. And let it rain. Tear off the roof. And let it rain. I don't know what you came in with tonight. Some of you do a pretty good job of hiding it from everybody. But you see, the Lord knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you are. He knows what is in your mind. He knows what is in your heart. You're not going to come before Him and blame it on somebody else. Because when the books are opened, did you hear me? When the books are opened, you're going to stand alone before God. You're going to stand alone. You're not going to be able to point the finger at somebody else and say, oh, but they, oh, open him, open her. But no. Jesus came to save you. Where are you? What about your roof tonight? Are you ready to tear it off? Are you ready to let the rains fall? Then you've got to be willing to lay it all down before Him right now. I don't care what it is. I don't really need to know what it is. It's not my business. It's between you and the Lord. But He knows it's there, and it's been withholding the rain. I hear the Lord. There have been folks that have been praying and asking, where's the answers to prayer? It's not that God's not willing to answer. But your own pride and your own selfish ways are withholding the reins. And I just wonder, will you lay them down? Will you lay them down? The way they laid this man down before Jesus, will you lay them down? Will you lay your spiritual palsy down before the Lord? Will you let Him speak unto you? Will you let Him tell you, I forgive you of all of your sin? Then will you let Him heal you? And He'll send you on your way. The Scriptures do not say it, but I have no doubt in my mind that that man that had palsy, when he left rejoicing. Those guys thought I just needed healing, but I heard Him say, your sins are forgiven you. I have no doubt he ran away rejoicing. You're standing here tonight, and only you know what you bear inside. I'm just going to simply ask you, I'm not here to push anybody, but if this word has spoken to you in any way tonight, I want you to come up to this altar. I said, Brother Cooley, do I have to go to the altar to lay it down? No, but it sure is a lot easier. All across this building, every head bowed, every eye closed, if the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you tonight, just come in obedience to the Lord, not to me, and lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. Is there someone else? God's been dealing with you tonight. He sent this poor fat preacher to come to you and to tell you, there's a way out. There's a way out. You didn't think there was, but there's a way out. I want you to lay it down. Lay it down. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. I'll tarry just a few more minutes, please. If you have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit at any point, just come and lay it down before Him tonight. We come to tear some roofs off. We've come to tear some roofs off and go let it rain. We're going to tear the roofs off and we're going to let it rain. From where you stand, since you got it all together, I want you to stretch your hands toward, don't get out of your seat, don't come to them, don't come to them, this is between them and God. You see, they've come to lay theirs down. I just want you to stretch your hands to the front of this building towards them. I want you to lift them up in prayer tonight. We're going to pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everyone that obeyed your voice
They felt your conviction and they came to this altar to lay it down. Just as the man with palsy was laid down before you, they have come here to lay it down before you. It took courage for those men to get up on that building and tear off that roof. It took courage for these to get out of their seats and come down here tonight. It took courage. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as only you can, forgive them of their sin. God, forgive them of their sin. Forgive them of their sin every way, every shape, every form. God, forgive them of their sin. And I pray that you would send a healing to them. God, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, loose the healing power of Jesus in their life. You who does all things well, heal them to the uttermost. That means every heart, every hurt, every indifference, every moment of doubt and unbelief, God, heal in Jesus' name. And as they leave this place tonight, they leave delivered and they leave free and they leave, Lord, saved to the uttermost. They leave forgiven. They leave in the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. They leave. Though the house be full, they leave delivered. And I'm asking you to do it in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you, O Lord, to withhold the reins no longer. But as we in our own hearts set aside our roofs and tear off our roofs and we turn these things aside and we stop playing church and we stop playing in the world and we stop flirting with worldliness and we stop being the whores and we stop being the spiritual adulterers and we stop being the spiritual idolaters, that as we lay these things aside, you will send the rain. You will send the move of God. You will send an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I'm believing you to do it tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the church said amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. If you're able, stand to your feet tonight as we dismiss in a word. Keep your head bowed, please. Your eyes closed. Father, we've come here tonight. We have heard your word. You have revealed your heart to us in this house tonight. I pray, oh God, that you will do something inside of every one of us. God, that you will spark a fire that will burn so deeply and so truly that we will never again be the same. We will never again approach your church services the same. When we leave the house of God, may we begin to say, we never saw it in this fashion. God, give us eyes to see the truth. And give us ears to hear the word of the Lord. And a will to obey what thus saith the Lord. I'm asking you to do it tonight. I pray that you'll go with each and every one as we go our way. But I pray, Holy Spirit, don't let up. Don't stop. Don't stop convicting. Don't stop convincing. Don't stop plowing. Don't stop probing. Don't stop questioning. We need you. How we need you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed tonight.